You're listening to the official Rise Records podcast. For more information on any of these or other Rise artists, visit riserecords.com or go to MySpace/RiseRecords. Subscribe now for free and stay tuned for more exciting shows and interviews. Thank you for all your support.
Now let's go.
Hello again and welcome to the second installment of the Rise Records podcast. We're in for a great show today. We have an interview with the Devil Wears Prada and lots of new music to play for you guys. So let's get started with Here I Come Falling from their album, O Grave, Where Is Thy Victory, out January 8th. This song is called Put the City to the Sword. All right, that was Here I Come Falling. Like I said before, we have a big, long show for you guys today. Lots of fun stuff, interviews between every song. So let's just jump into it here with the first part of the Devil Wears Prada interview. Yeah, why don't we go around and get a quick introduction. Tell me who's here. Tell me your name and what you play.
I'm Jeremy. I play guitar and sing.
I'm James. I play keys.
I'm Paul Fisher. I do merch.
He's not really Paul Fisher.
Grow up.
That's Andy. I play bass.
I'm Daniel. I play drums.
I don't even know where to start with you guys because there's so much to talk about the last few months. The new album, Plagues, is selling like crazy. You guys charted number 57 on the Billboard, number 6 on the Indie Billboard. Coming off of a great tour with Sounds of the Underground into the Chiodos, Emery, Scaring Kids tour. Things couldn't be going better for you guys, and the show last night was amazing. You guys want to talk about that?
It was a really good show.
It was a really good
25 show. Out of 28 of the shows have sold out.
What shows aren't sold out?
I'm trying to think. Louisville didn't sell out. Reno, Nevada didn't sell out.
Oh, so the past tour with Ailsa.
Yeah. And then okay.
We've only been on this particular tour for like a week. A little over a week.
Yeah.
And they've been way bigger shows.
But I mean, like, it's all like really Chiodos. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And Denver didn't sell out.
Right. You guys just got done filming the video for Hey John, What's Your Name Again. I know the show will be out by then, but November 3rd is the big premiere on Headbangers Ball, so
watch
all
it.
You guys stay up, set your DVRs, your TiVos.
When does that start?
It's 11.
I think it's 11 easy.
I think we're actually going to try and see if a band that has like satellite on their bus will let us watch it on their bus. So that would be amazing.
No doubt.
Very cool. Do you guys have fun making the video?
It was
tiring,
long, but it was very fun. It was awesome.
The whole thing was like really surreal, being able to like walk onto a set. You know what I mean? Like there's all these like trees and leaves everywhere, and we're like, this is strange because it shouldn't be inside a building. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
And it was like when you watch like music videos on the TV and stuff like that, to be able to like actually be in that situation, it's kind of like just really weird.
Yeah. And just like playing like to the song, but you're not really playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's really weird.
And all the cameras and everything make everything just look so Hollywood. It's
right.
crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Like just being able to like film someone in real time and then like watch the playback, it's like ridiculous.
Yeah, we would sit there and watch like the monitor, and even if someone would just like walk in front of the camera, we'd be like, "Ooh, that even looked cool."
Right.
Yeah.
So you guys were live and playing loud and stuff.
Yeah.
Like okay.
Well, no. They played like
we weren't plugged.
I was the only one that was playing.
Okay, so they weren't plugged in at all.
No,
right.
No.
But. What they would do is they would plug in like an iPod to a giant PA, and like that music would just be hitting us like really loud, and we were just like, fake playing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, acting like we were playing.
Then the PA broke, and that took hours.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you guys, right now on the Devil Wears Prada MySpace site, you can go click an interview, probably YouTube as well. Not an interview, but behind the scenes. Documentary on the making of the video. It's really fun.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's really funny.
Should have been a Gundam in the video.
Yeah, they didn't show it, but I headbanged so hard that I hit my head on a rim of my drums.
Oh, boy.
I had this like huge welt. Did you see that?
Oh, no.
No.
Did you? I didn't show you guys.
All I heard was, I've been playing for so long.
I think Daniel.
I'd like to see you play for that long.
I probably could.
Daniel did 8,750 takes, by the way, that day.
Yeah, just ask him.
With no blisters on his fingers. It's
oh,
clear.
No, I had plenty of blisters.
No, there were blisters.
So the Chris Ruby, he took the biggest fall, right? On the leaves?
No, you only saw one of them in the behind the scenes. He seriously fell like 10 times.
What about you? Zero?
No, I fell once.
Okay.
I fell once.
It was slippery. The leaves, we were on a huge hill, too, so it was...
I didn't fall at all.
It wasn't a hill. It was like kind of like a movie theater
decline.
And then like the leaves, like the actual floor of the place was like a wood place, and it was really dusty.
Oh, yeah, here's
so there's some leaves on it, and it was just like slippery.
Right. We've never talked about this either. That church was so creepy. Like
you would go
in these rooms, and there would be like all these ripped up hymnal pages like hanging all over the walls.
Oh,
and there was this one room where there were all these like
paper
Chinese
dolls.
There were like paper dolls covered with Chinese little baby clothes, that were like hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, they were all evenly hung from the ceiling. Like it was like an 8-foot ceiling maybe, but like it hung all the way down, so they were only maybe like a foot or a foot and a half
creepy.
Off the ground.
Wow.
They're all like exactly even. It was just really strange.
So the church was defunct, like not in operation?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
no.
It's,
yeah,
it's
definitely abandoned.
Looked like
yeah.
a cool building.
It was scary.
Like the stained glass was like awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Now they just film Delaware's Prada videos there.
That's right.
From the record Plagues, this is Goats on a Boat. Here we go.
My bones are dead.
you guys have the most loyal fans, and it's so cool to see you guys play and all these people come out and just love you guys. I know lately you've been hanging out at the merch tables and after the show to meet and greet some of your fans. You know, can you guys talk about that? They ever bring you gifts?
I mean, yeah, well, like, we've been doing it lately, but I feel like we've actually been doing it since we started. I can't really think of a particular tour where we were like, oh, we're not going to go, like, out.
Yeah, we always hang out, like, with fans and stuff like that. We always, like, try and hang out with as many kids as we can. Like, I know you're talking about people bringing us stuff, like...
A girl in Chicago always brings us stuff. She brought us a heart that says "I love you," and she gave one to each of us. She gave us crosses that were on like bracelets.
I've gotten a bunch of stuff. I've got like bracelets and just little knickknacks and stuff that I just put them in my drawer like on stage, and we've got like. A little wooden cross that someone gave us, we hung from the rearview mirror and stuff like that. Like, it's really cool.
Daniel accepts Chipotle gift cards.
Yes, Chipotle gift cards for Daniel.
Did we thank us too, Chipotle? I think
we thanked him like three times actually.
I think it actually made the first one too.
Yeah, it was on both CDs. So we're trying to get a sponsorship.
No sponsorship. Yeah.
The first CD also had Chipotle. A thing for Burger King, but on the second CD we moved over to Taco Bell.
You're moving up.
Wait,
yeah.
speaking of Chipotle, is there one around here?
Oh yeah.
So tell me about some of the bands, not that you're influenced by so much, but the ones nowadays that you guys are seeing that are really incredible out there.
Yeah.
Emery.
Yeah, Emery. I was going to say, if you want to talk about influence, it's really surreal for us to be on tour with Emery, considering that was one of the most influential bands for the beginning, like when we started. We never actually like totally had the Emery sound that we were going for, but like we all really liked the band. We all always were real fans of them and wanted to
have
that
cool
sound, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that intensity.
But right
Pierce
now,
the Veil.
Oh yeah,
Pierce the Veil.
You know who awesome. Has an amazing show?
MySpace.com/thecutscene. I think they have
really
them
too. Yeah, but a really amazing band live is Every Time I Die. That band, every single time I've seen them, and we were on Sounds of the Underground, so I saw them almost every night. They were always good.
Yeah. Darkest Hour was good. On
Darkest
that
Hour.
I like
Darkest really
Hour. I like Every Time I Die.
Goat Horror.
Not so much.
Sorry.
Acacia Strain.
MySpace.com/thecutscene.
shameless plugs out here.
Chipotle cards.
Chipotle cards.
I like actually, going back to like good shows, dude. Chiodos actually does put on a really good show.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of their shows where honestly, like they've just blown me away. Their presence on stage, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So obviously, for you guys, that question was more geared up around seeing bands play live.
You want to talk about stuff?
Well, you know, you guys, I know have your iPods. You know, you're probably listening to the music in the van.
I'll tell you what, new Emery is really good. Mm-hmm. I really like. I don't know. I like Bright Eyes.
My favorite band is Pierce the Veil at the moment.
I've been listening to a band called Strata a lot.
Strata,
ever since I got that CD, I've just nonstop. It's perfect all the way through.
New Armor for Sleep is coming out this week, which I just listened to on MySpace yesterday.
Right.
I'm trying to think. New As I Lay Dying is really good.
Yeah.
What about Rise bands? You guys have some friends out there.
For Their Eyes Rules.
Oh,
Dance Gavin Dance is amazing. I think, you know, talk
like
about
Dance
a good
Gavin
live
Dance.
Show, Dance Gavin Dance.
Yeah.
Rise Records,
they're
show,
a lot
they
of
blew
fun.
Me away every night.
Yeah,
that boy can sing.
We listened to Dance Gavin Dance in the van all the time.
Yeah, obviously
cool.
At the Throne as well. Like, put together a phenomenal record.
And you guys turned us on to Here I Come Falling, another band that really... seems to love you guys. Their music is a little bit influenced, and
you know what else
a lot
is
of
it? I've only heard a couple songs when Chris was listening to them, but For the Fallen Dreams, new stuff is
it's
really
incredible.
Sick.
All right, I suppose this is the perfect time to play some For the Fallen Dreams from their upcoming album Changes, out January 8th. This is Brothers in Arms.
We'll be right back.
set. That was For the Fallen Dreams with Brothers in Arms. All right, all you drummers out there are going to like this next section of the Devil Wears Prada interview. Some one-on-one time with Daniel. I'll play that for you right now.
So, Daniel, tell me about your drum kit. You have a beautiful drum set. What company made those for you?
A company called Shine Drums. They're out of Sacramento, California, and they are awesome. They're actually doing a signature series snare with me, and it's basically going to be the snare that I play, a new snare that they're going to make for me. And it's going to be very custom, and it's going to have a Devil Wears Prada Daniel badge, special Shine badge on it, and basically, I think it might come in two sizes, but you can't customize it at all. It has to be bought exactly the same way, and I think we're going to be selling those on the Shine Drums website, so you can play the same snare that I play.
Right,
and it cool. will sound awesome.
So, in terms of equipment upkeep, are you one of those guys that like changes your heads all the time or polishes cymbals out there on the road?
I actually polished my cymbals yesterday, but I suck at it and I can't figure out how to do it right. my cymbals usually come out black. I think I did something wrong, but
shoe polish.
Yeah,
wait.
I tried to polish them yesterday, but I think it got a little shiny, maybe. But I change heads about once a month. Mm-hmm. Other than that, like, I try to shine my drums up a little bit, yeah. But I don't do too much. Like, the hardware's kind of hard to keep shiny, but I try.
Yeah. What about stretching exercises? Do you have to do a little workout before you play, or are you just one of those limber guys that can hop up there and rock out?
I don't know. Sometimes I'll end up stretching, but not always. Like, I don't know, yesterday I didn't, but usually if I remember to, I will. Because I know that my neck will be in pain afterwards.
Right. Oh yeah. Do you have any advice for young drummers coming up? Anything that you wish you would have known when you were young learning?
Marching band is not for nerds. Dude, it helps so much. Like, if you want to build your chops, then seriously, just join marching band.
Oh, yeah.
or just get like a rudiment book and like learn your basic rudiments and just practice them, and don't try to go like super fast right when you start out. Like, start out slow and build your way up. Definitely good to learn how to play to a click. I don't play to a click, but I probably should. But I want to learn, or I want to practice doing it.
Yeah, well, the drums sound awesome on the record. I know Joey Sturgis is famous for those impeccable sounds. The drums yeah. are certainly one of the things that stand out for me, for sure.
For sure.
Was that a pretty awesome, smooth process as far as
yeah.
getting sounds?
And yeah, Joey's really good at recording, so definitely.
Cool,
can't
cool.
make it easy.
Well, hey, any last words? Any shout-outs to your friends at home or anything like that? No one else is in the room, so you can say whatever you want.
I'm trying to think here. No, I just bought a house with like my best friends, so excited to hang out with them. So I guess shout out to them, and I'll be hanging out soon.
Cool.
When
cool.
I get off tour, and of course my family and like all my other friends and stuff. So say hey to all of them. And
cool.
MySpace.com/thecutscene and Pierce the Veil. I love it.
Cool. That. In case you didn't catch that before. All right. Thanks, Daniel, so much, and everybody else. This has been awesome. I hope you guys got all the dirt you wanted on the Devil Wears Prada, and look for them soon. They will inevitably be coming to a town right near you.
Yeah.
Thanks again, dude.
No problem.
Hey, thanks for sticking around. Up next, we have a song from an incredible band called Amorosa. This one's called Utah. from the album This Is Your Way Out on Rise Records. That was Emerosa with Utah. All right, let's get back to the Devil Wears Prada interview. This is kind of a long segment. Enjoy.
Let's talk about the next couple of years for you guys. I know that you know are showing no signs of slowing down.
We're definitely not slowing down at all.
More touring.
Yeah.
Another record, maybe. Well, it's a little soon to be talking about that, but
going overseas.
Overseas.
Not sure when, but going to Mexico in January.
We definitely want to personally, I just want to step things up, like keep bringing out fresh stuff. I know a lot of people really like our live show, so we're trying to think of a lot of things to bring to it, I guess, on future tours that you'll be like, whoa, that was crazy.
The intro of that show was awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You two started it. Is that your idea, James? Mm-hmm. Good man.
That was cool. That was awesome. Oh, and by the way, we got to expose Andy Trick again for diving into the crowd.
Talk about
with
it,
his bass strapped on. That was, well, in my day, we would have said that was very punk rock.
I just did what I thought Paul Fisher would want me to do.
We're
bringing Paul in next to throw you guys under the van.
Actually, that wasn't the only entertaining stage dive of the night. Guitarist of Emery had lost a bet and ran out on the stage and had to circle headbang and stage dive for the first time ever. He'd never done it. He was actually kind of scared that he might not make it all the way to the audience. But we were like,
we told him, no way.
And he looked like he was having so much fun once he got over to the kids. It was okay.
It looked like his first stage dive, too.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's a wild show, but it seems like everyone is just having fun. No one's out to obviously hurt each other. They just want to rock out.
We definitely want to keep touring, like, as long as we possibly can. Like, I don't know, at some point down the line, do a new record and just keep things fresh, I guess. Like, I think kids are stoked because we're doing something fresh, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just the same old thing, so hopefully we can keep doing that.
With Plagues, I'd asked you about this. I know you guys had more of a collaborative writing effort with this one. Seemed to be a really good recipe. I think you guys are excited about, on the next record, having that time with each other to create all these ideas?
I think it'll be harder and it'll be easier in some ways. I think, like, it'll definitely be harder because, like, even on the last record, we were like, we've done this before. But I know we all work really hard, and I don't know, hopefully we can just do something new, but still the Devil Wears Prada. Like, I just want people to listen to it and be like, I can't believe they made that CD.
Like Jeremy said, we
just
had
like they're doing right now.
Like Jeremy said, we had a bunch of ideas like from Dear Love that were like new that we'd never done before. And then when we were writing Plagues, it was like, oh man, this idea was on Dear Love. We need to do something different. And again, that'll be the same thing. But I really and honestly believe that we accomplished something when we wrote Plagues because it was different from Dear Love, but it was still the Devil Wears Prada.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I would hope that come third album time, we'd be able to do it again.
We've already learned that we can still be the same band that we are, just progress and be successful, so we don't have to worry about trying to write a cookie-cutter album or something like that. I'm proud of the fact that we don't James? Fine, you can write cookie cutter parts.
Let's talk about your guys' families, your small town upbringing, the fact you've known each other for so long. Everyone in your family has been really supportive of all the success and being gone so much from home, etc.
They really have. I mean, like, I know my parents personally, like, my dad used to want to be in a band and stuff like that, so it's really... All our families are really supportive, so it really helps when we're on the road. And it's not just our families, like, we're meeting people all over the country now that are really supportive of us and, like, help us out and it's cool to like go back to the same places and see those people again. It's like just making friends everywhere, you know.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about being on the road so much. You guys keep yourself entertained with various toys in the van, or what do you guys do to kill the boredom?
Everyone has laptops. Everyone has iPods.
I have a PSP, which I've been playing a lot. Actually, Andy just got one, too. So
I have an internet card, Dan, so I can get on the internet.
Dan has a DVD player. He's been watching that a lot lately.
Nice.
Portable DVD player, yeah.
Yeah. They get a lot of use out of that, right, James?
Yeah. We have a scooter that I ride every day.
Yeah. By the way, the scooter, we need to talk about this. If there's any scooter mechanics out there on their way to see Devil Wears Prada,
Dan's is broke.
Bring your tools.
Day one.
tell them about the scooter here, Daniel.
The scooter is awesome. Thank you very much.
I will mention that no member of the band have ever seen it in its glory, because the first day of tour,
it
was already broke.
Which isn't my fault. It's Kevin from www.myspace.com/thecutscene that actually...
They owe you to Chipotle. I
know.
Those plugs.
They do.
But it was Kevin, I think. I don't want to point any fingers.
Andy has a skateboard that he never rides. We have a lot of crap we never use.
Yeah, you guys should be riding skateboards. That's broken wrist territory.
Yeah, right there. Be careful.
Actually, I used to do a lot of like aggressive inline stuff.
Fruit booty.
And I actually stopped because it was too dangerous. You know, but I would say that I've got...
Because everyone will beat you up if they found out.
Because everyone will beat you up.
No, because you have to take risks. But I will say that I've gotten more injured in the band than I ever did skating.
Oh, yeah. We need to talk about that again, too. I'm sorry.
Look at this. You want to talk about injury? Look at my finger.
Oh, my little pinky.
No, this is always like that. Permanently.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. I actually play music instead of just banging around things.
You should put some super glue on the tip of your finger, dude.
I have done that at times.
You play my fingers.
No,
nah,
I just, like that. Because I have small hands.
Right.
So, Andy, I want you to tell me, have you ever hurt yourself throwing that bass up in the air? There's that one Nirvana thing where that dude, his bass landed on his head and kind of knocked him out.
I've hit myself in the head a few times.
Hit numerous other people, including me.
James sent me to the hospital one time.
James ran into me and got sent to the hospital.
I did not run
into
you.
No, he didn't. He got
hit. That is not the story.
Andy hits people a lot. Yeah. Not as much anymore. But him and I have a pretty good vibe going on our side of stage now, though.
No.
So, Andy, have you ever broken a bass trying to practice that swing around strat
thing? Not practicing.
Or actually doing it.
He's actually broken like three basses now, I think.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, didn't
three, yeah.
didn't you want to sell one of those broken basses there, too? You want
to? Yeah, I was going to, I think.
Anybody wants to buy one of Andy's broken guitars?
Come to the show.
So, yeah, injuries can happen when you're a rock band on tour, huh?
Yeah, we get hurt a lot, I guess, but... I don't really care.
I've asked James a few times about his whiplash and potential headaches from all the headbanging, giving it your all.
Yeah, there's been a couple times I've had to go to the hospital or I've had cut myself for some reason.
He headbanged into his knee.
Yeah, one time. I actually, like, busted my lip open that night.
Ouch. Okay, we're going to play some more music for you now, this time from a band from here in Portland, good friends of mine, a band called American Me. They're in the studio right now with Chris Crummett and Interlace. Scotty just text messaged me and said he's finished two drum tracks so far, so can't wait to hear it. It's going to be really good. Anyway, this one is called Finish Him.
Okay, just a little taste of what's to come from American Me. Their new album, Heat, is going to be available February 19th. And they're going to be on tour all through January, so be sure to check that out. All right, back to the Devil Wears Prada interviews. Here's a one-on-one I had with Jeremy. Here you go.
All right, Jeremy, yeah, we were just talking about lyric writing, songwriting.
I mean, Mike writes everything, but he just gives me a big paragraph. Usually involving some silly stuff that wouldn't sound very good to be sung. Dan can attest for that. Some of the attempts we've made, but we usually have to turn it into something catchy. So,
right. Seems to be working good. Yeah. You know, one of the first times I met you, you had a really awesome Motley Crue t-shirt on. And last night, you were wearing, was it Bon Jovi or something?
Bon Jovi.
Do you have a connection to some of that old glam rock and roll stuff?
Yeah, I love old metal. Like, I don't know. It's just like a big show, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, good rock and roll, like, old Marshall amps, stuff like that. Yeah. I'm just really into, like, rock and roll, you know what I mean?
Definitely. It seems to be kind of back, you know, for a while.
Yeah.
Guys on stage were just wearing jeans and flannels, and that's cool, you know, it's cool, but it's a big show, you know? Mm-hmm.
I really like rock and roll. Just good rock bands, you know what I mean?
Definitely, definitely.
All right, folks, you heard it. Stay tuned. There's lots more of the Devil Wears Prada interviews to come up. Right now, we're going to play a song by Every Bridge Burned. Their new album, On Apprendo, will be out in stores November 14th. Everyone go out and get one. This is a song from the record. It's called In the Heat of the Night. You all! Save me! All right, on sale November 14th, that was Every Bridge Burned Within the Heat of the Night. Now I'm going to play a little part of the interview I had with Mike. I had a chance to ask him about his clothing company, Ship Shape. Here's that little blurb. Mike, I wanted to ask you about Ship Shape Clothing. Can you tell us about that project of yours?
I started it about a year ago just to... get myself something to do and something to enjoy. Now it's pretty successful. I just have fun with it and sell shirts that I like. And, yeah.
All right, thanks, man. Anything you want to say to friends, family back home?
Don't be dumb.
Don't be dumb. I love you.
All right, that was Mike from the Devil Wears Prada. Now I'm going to play you a song from a band called A Different Breed of Killer. These guys are incredible. They'll be in the studio with Jamie King in January recording a new record for Rise. And check them out. I told you they are crazy. That was A Different Breed of Killer with The Accidentist. Look for that record. Okay, here, continuing with the Devil Wears Prada interview, some one-on-one time with James.
All right, James, do you have anything you want to say to your friends back home, family?
I would like to say thanks to all my friends and family, obviously. Like, my family's obviously very supportive of everything. They're always coming to the shows whenever they're around, like, always. And they're always, like, buying multiple records.
Nice,
sometimes
nice.
My mom ends up going to, like, all the different stores. Like, she has to buy one at Best Buy. She has to buy one at FYE. And friends, obviously, are awesome. They get a big kick out of being able to play shows as big as we do and being able to tour and see different places. And are all really jealous, but I don't know. I, in the long run, would just like to be home with them, you know.
Awesome.
Really nice guy, that James. Okay, up next we have another great, great group of guys from Portland, Oregon called It Prevails. I'm going to go see them tonight, and I'm really excited. From their album, The Inspiration, this song is called Explanation Content. That was It Prevails. Be sure to catch them on tour this January with For the Fallen Dreams, Recon, Every Bridge Burned, and American Me. It's going to be a good one. All right, let's get to the last of the Devil Wears Prada interview. These guys have some more stuff for you.
Let me ask you at this point, who stinks up the Devil Wears Prada's van the
Jeremy.
Most?
No way.
Jeremy.
No way.
Jeremy.
He takes off his pants, it's all over.
Oh, gosh.
Andy will attest to that, right?
I'd say Paul Fisher.
Alright.
Yeah.
You heard it. These guys need fresh socks and fresh skivvies.
Fresh jeans for Jeremy. It's always the jeans. They always somehow make their way.